Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, may be seated. Beloved friends in Christ Jesus, this morning is a very special day. First of all, it is a day in which we celebrate the triumphant arrival of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And you can imagine what it was like. We know the celebration by hearing the trumpets play this morning and the organ play, and we hear it with the and we see it with the kids who have waved their palm branches and came forward, the processional parade that we had. And then, of course, we can't forget the other two that were part of this, as well as our confirmands that are here. It is a day in which we're celebrating, a celebration of Jesus, but also a celebration of what he has done and what it is in the church for us to understand and to learn about what it is. You know, it is a thing too, celebration, because we have two young men that today are going to stand before you and confess their faith. And what Jesus tells us is this, that for those who will confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. And you know, that's an important thing. That is an important thing for us to do, because we live in a world here that seems to be in chaos. Really, if you look at what happened to Jesus, today is the day we celebrate his triumphant coming in. In fact, it was a situation where there weren't just some children, but there were many children that were doing the same thing, singing his praises, singing God, singing to Jesus, singing and waving the palm branches in that. You could tell it was a regular spectacle there. This was something that was stopping people in the streets. It was, and that the people that lined up to watch Jesus come in. This wasn't just simply a handful of people on the sides, but this was probably thousands of people that welcomed Jesus coming as the king, sitting on a donkey, sitting on a foal, coming into Jerusalem. What a celebration it was. You can just understand that probably the whole city was buzzing about this. It was a major event. Everybody knew what was going on, and they were coming to see. But yet we look just 5 days later, these crowds that were celebrating him coming in and waving palm branches, something went terribly wrong. Or at least that's the way we see it. Because it's 5 days later that they took Jesus and they were out in the courtyard, out in the palace, and they were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Does it look like, who's in control? The thing about it is that we look at it and we see Jesus as this king, as God is the one who is the creator of all. But does it look like he's in control? After all, we see the crowds that have gone from one side to another in just a matter of 5 days. In other words, what was popular on one day was not popular on the next. It seems like just simply the winds of the time were taking over. Was God in control? Was God in charge? You can imagine how the disciples felt in this. You know, these disciples had been with him for 3 years, and they had followed him, and they had seen him that was there. And they were probably excited as well to see all the people that had turned out. Oh, we're finally winning the battle. When we see 5 days later, what are they doing? Most of them are hiding in fear. Most of them are behind closed doors. And the few, the handful that did come out to see what was going on, cowered. In fact, when Peter was approached, what happened? It was a situation where somebody in the crowd noticed that he was one of those that was out in the crowd the other day. And when somebody recognized him and said, "Weren't you one of those guys that were with Jesus?" And he said, "No, not me." And somebody else asked him and said, "No." In fact, he cursed. He swore, "I don't know Jesus." It seemed like things were going haywire, didn't it? But see, what we have to do is the example that we get out of our gospel lesson for today is one in which we see Jesus coming in. And one of the alternate texts for today is also the picture of Jesus standing before Pilate on Good Friday. It's one where he's standing there when all hope seems to be lost. But yet, as he stands there, who was in charge? Who was in control? Obviously, we can see Pilate wasn't, was he? Because it was Pilate, if you really look at Pilate in his proper light, he tried to do everything he could to get Jesus off. He tried to talk to the Jews. He tried to say, this man is innocent. He tried to do all kinds of, in fact, he even put up a criminal, a murderer, in front of the crowd. And even though he saw the innocence of Jesus, he let popularity of the crowd win him over. Even as powerful as a man as Pilate was, he was actually the governor of the region. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of ability. He had a lot of strength to do things. Was he in charge? Was he in control? I don't think so. Was it really the Jewish leaders? Were they in control? Were they in charge? You see, when you really start asking these questions, you really come to find out that it seems like it was chaos at the time. But why do we think about that? Because don't we see that in our lives as well? Are there times in our lives when things seem to be out of control? Where things seem to be in chaos? It doesn't seem that God is in control of these things. But that's exactly why we come here today. That's why we celebrate his entry into Jerusalem. Because we have to realize that throughout this entire process, he was in control. He was in control, even from the standpoint of the donkey, the colt, the foal, whatever you want to call it. He said, go into this other city, and there you'll find a donkey that's tied up. And get it and bring it and say, if somebody comes to you and says, why are you taking it? You tell them, because the Lord has need of it. Was that an accident? Or was that God showing us how much he was in control of the situation? When he came into Jerusalem and they were celebrating in that, it showed God control. When he stood, Jesus stood behind Pilate. After all, he had the power to send his angels down and to take Jesus away. He had the power to stop all of this. But yet God used the chaos and the popularity and all that of this world in order to do his plan. And we have to realize that's exactly what God has. Is God has a plan for each one of us. He has a plan for his people, for his church. And yes, God has a plan for the two of you as well. He has a plan for each one of you. And oh, it might be a situation where we feel the weight of the world, don't we? In fact, the word that I probably have heard the most in the past 5 years is frustration. We get frustrated easy because the world we live in today seems to be out of control. It seems that what's popular today is not popular tomorrow. And what standard we live by today doesn't work the next day. And I know for the two of you, I'm sure at your age, life seems that way as well. There's probably days in which you are very frustrated because things aren't working the way that you thought that they should. Or you're having, or your opinions aren't working. Dealing with your friends that have different directions that they want to go. And the directions that are opposite of what God tells us. Just simply living up to those peer pressures that they that you have in your life. Believe me, I know it's a difficult thing. I know it was difficult when I was your age. And today, with the technology and the problems and the issues that we have in this world, I guarantee you it's even tougher on you. But that's where we have to once again rely on our faith in Jesus Christ. We have to rely on what we've learned and what you've learned over the past 2 years. As you face those things, and as each one of us faces this world, we have to not give in to the chaos of what's out there. But we have to rely on what God's will for us is, and to know that he's got a plan. You may not know what it is today. You may not see it. And it may be something that it may be years before the reality of it comes forward. And I'll even tell you this. You may never truly see what that plan is. I guarantee you, when I was your age and I sat there, I didn't think that I'd be wearing a robe and a stole in the way that I am today. I had different desires. I thought I was going to be an engineer. I thought I was going to be building huge buildings. I thought I was going to be doing those type of things. If you would have told me at your age that I'd be standing up in front of a congregation celebrating Jesus' triumphant entry with TJ and Justin, I would have told you I was crazy. But God has a plan for your lives. God has a plan for all of our lives. And we have to realize that He's in control. I want you to think of it this way. There is I don't know if you've all ever been to Greenland before. I know it's not exactly a vacation destination that I'm interested in going to. But the one thing about Greenland is that when you go up there throughout the year, a lot of icebergs break loose and float into the ocean. And so when you go up there, there are people that have observed this and they've watched this. In fact, there was one particular man that was observing this, and he noticed that when a small iceberg broke off, it would fall into the bay, and then it would float out to the ocean, and as it got to the ocean, it would go east. But then when a larger iceberg fell off, it would float into the bay. It would take the same path, but when it got to the ocean, it would actually go to the west. And he was trying to figure it out. One day he was talking to somebody that kind of knew something about these icebergs. And he says, what's the difference here? He says, well, the little ones, this is what happens. The little ones, when they fall off, there's just a little bit above the water, which means there's only a little bit below water. And so when they get out to the ocean, what happens is that the winds take them and they push them, and they push them off to the east. But the big icebergs, if you understand an iceberg, they have a little tip at the top, but they have a huge base down at the bottom. And what ends up happening is that as the large iceberg floats out to the ocean, it's the prevailing currents that take that iceberg and push it. The thing is it's too big for the winds to push around here and there. And see, that's really a good example of what faith means to us. If we're people of little faith or we're people of no faith, what can happen is that the winds of this world can take us and push us around. And believe me, they don't know where they're going. One day the wind blows east, the next day it blows west, the next day it may blow north, the other day month it might blow south. And see, that's really what this world is about. It's all about being here, there, and everywhere and not having a direction. But for those who have faith, God has a path. God has a plan. And we're just like those large icebergs. Through our faith, what He does is when we get out into that real world, when we get out into that ocean of our life, what happens is that the Word of God works in our hearts, and it moves us, and it moves us to the path of where He wants us to be. Sure, we may not know where the final destination we're going, but we do know the final destination. And that final destination is heaven with Him. Eternity, everlasting life with Jesus Christ. And you know, that's something that you too need to hold on to. Because I know right now the two of you are probably feeling like you're being blown by the winds of the times. What's right and what's wrong. But if you ground yourself in faith and you have faith in Jesus Christ, He's the one that's in control. You see, that's the whole thing about the large iceberg. It was the prevailing waters. In other words, it's God that's in control. It was guiding and directing them where they would go. So the thing I wish I could do here today is promise you that you're not going to have trouble in your life. But I can't do that. I can't promise anyone sitting out there that you don't have trouble, because I know that there is. And there's trouble in your lives today. In fact, I guarantee you some of you are frustrated and ready to pull your hair out with some of those things. It just seems like when things get going the right direction, it seems that something else comes up. Something else gets in the way. Some other problem is out there. But this is what happens. That's what Satan wants us to do. What he wants to do is put obstacles and roadblocks and those things in the way. He wants us to think that there's no one in control, because when he does, it means that we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, and it means we don't trust in his plan. But praise be to God that we look back to this day. We look back into his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and in fact, we look back to this whole week of Holy Week to realize that no matter what had happened during this week, that Jesus had a plan. And it didn't matter how powerful, how hard somebody tried, like Pilate, that he couldn't change the destiny of what Jesus was going to do. He set out in order to go to that cross and to die on that cross in order to take away your sins, our sins, my sins, so that each one of us would have eternal life. What we have to do is realize that this day is a day that's set forth in promise. We have to realize that today is a day that's set forth in God's plan. And that as we live our lives, we just simply have to do exactly what he calls us to do, and simply look at him in faith. Because Jesus went to that tomb, and when they thought, even Satan thought that he had him taken care of, put him in that tomb, that on that Easter morning, he walked out of that tomb. And it was there that our salvation was made solid. It was there that the promise was fulfilled. And that our destination is life with him. So my prayer for the two of you is this. That as the struggles of life come, that as the frustrations of this world attack you, that you will remember and rely on what you've learned over the past 2 years. Rely on the baptism in which you live each and every day that cleansed you and makes you righteous in Christ's sight. Come to the Lord's Supper so that you can be refortified, so that you can live in that body and blood and receive and be assured of the forgiveness of sins. That as you face the trials of the world, that you don't simply just go from one place to another, but what you do is you seek Jesus himself, for it's there that the true plan will be made known. For his promise is just to this: the inheritance is for you in all things that work for the good of those who love him, which means that all things will work. Yes, we're going to face times that are difficult. Yes, we're going to face times in which we ourselves might break things and be sick and that kind of thing. Yes, there is going to be a time that each one of us is going to even face death, whether it's the death of a loved one, the death of a parent, the death of a grandparent, or maybe it's even facing it ourselves. But let us be like that large iceberg. Let us stay solid in our faith and let God take charge of our lives. Because that's really what it's all about. God has a plan for you, and it is a holy one. And so may you go from this day. May this day be a day of celebration. May it be a day in which we hold on to the truth and the promise. For Jesus is in charge. He is our King in Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.